Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin. Dr. Lavian, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing fantastic this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a treat to be talking to you on this beautiful morning. And yeah, I'm excited to have a great show. I believe Dr. Ashley Robinson connected us, and she said you have a really interesting perspective. I was looking at your background, and it certainly looks like that. My name is KJ Eichsted. This is Confessions from a Dental Lab, the podcast that takes you beneath the surface into the dental lab industry, the dental industry. So together, through these episodes, we can all get a little bit better. And Dr. Halabian, thank you again for joining us. First question, would you mind introducing yourself, like where you're calling from, who you are, and what you do?
Sure. So I am a general dentist here in New York City. I graduated from NYU Dental School in 2021. And in New York State, you have to complete a residency, and it's a very common postgraduate program that most people do across the country. So I did a GPR residency in Westchester, just north of Manhattan. And that was at a level one trauma center. So I got a lot of focus on oral surgery, but also a lot of various procedures. And that was a great time. It gave me more confidence, and I'm glad I did it, because coming out of residency, I felt more prepared to go into the working world. And it was, I think, that excitement to start working that when I did start working, I realized that working life in dentistry is not as easy as it seemed, or it wasn't what I expected. So when I first started my first job, I was at an FQHC, which is a federally qualified healthcare center. And it's basically government funded, and you see a lot of Medicaid patients, but also patients who are in underserved populations who don't really have that much dental education, or for that reason, not much of a commitment to their dental needs. So I wasn't seeing patients really from start to finish. I was seeing them for mostly emergency situations. And in that regard, I wasn't really doing the dentistry I wanted to do. And insurance wasn't letting me do the dentistry I wanted to do. So I felt like I was doing a lot of patchwork. And so that led to a little bit of frustration. And that led me to start a podcast to discuss all of these concerns that I had and how to level up my career. And since then, I've, you know, moved out of the FQHC. I've been working in different practices across New York City in private practice, which has been a wonderful experience, because I get to see different types of dentistry, different types of environments, different types of materials, and different types of focus. And yeah, so we're just bouncing around New York doing different kind of dental work in different offices right now. And it's been really great, because it connects me with some really beautiful people and some great mentors.
Yeah, no, there's so much to take away from that. It's interesting you described like the background, because that's definitely like a part of the journey. And, you know, we've heard a lot of dentists talk about like drill and fill. We've heard a lot of them talk about how they absolutely love pursuing the type of lane in dentistry, and they get so much fulfillment of that. At the same time, we've also heard that it can be a very lonely profession. And what you were describing kind of aligns with all three of those things. And it's cool, because your ability to go to multiple practices and pursue what you love should theoretically allow, like, you know, happiness, right? Like maybe right. Subtract the lonely part from that, and also kind of pursue what you want, which usually turns out in great work, and especially in New York City, right? So it's almost like you get to experience and explore New York City. Are you from New York, or where are you originally from?
Yeah, I'm actually from New York. I'm a born and bred New Yorker, which is a very rare breed. But I've been born and raised in New York. I did move to Canada when I was 13 to pursue my education there until undergrad. And after I finished my studies, my bachelor's, I came back. So I've been in New York for most of my life.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. I guess, like, side question, what was like the biggest differences between Canada and like New York or America? Because I've only ever been to Winnipeg. I went to the Women's World Cup in 2015 with my family. And, you know, it was certainly like similar. I don't think it was super different, but I know a lot's changed since then. And I'm just curious, like, what your experience was like, because I was just visiting and you were able to actually live there, it sounds like. Could we speak on that for a sec?
Absolutely, absolutely. So Canada is a very beautiful country. It's a very large country, just like the U.S. expands quite a lot of land. And in doing so, there's different regions to Canada. And so Montreal is very much a French province. So the official language is French. But the beautiful thing about Montreal is it's bilingual. So you can go there. If you don't speak French, people will easily transition to English. And so for me, initially going there and having to learn French and to like study French in school was a bit of an adjustment. But I was able to do well enough where I could pass with the bare minimum in the French department and managed to move forward with my studies. And I think because it has such a big French influence, Montreal has a very European quality of life in the sense that they're like laid back. They enjoy taking time for themselves and not so much really rushing with when it comes to work. Like everyone has responsibilities, obviously, and everyone has commitments to work, but it's not so much time is money. Whereas in New York, I feel like everything, it runs on money. I do think that they appreciate life a little bit more.
Well, it's fascinating you say that because we're in Wisconsin. We're right outside of Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is just exploding. We have a lot of people from Chicago coming up, maybe to escape some of the higher taxes. Like maybe it's a variety of reasons, but there still is this appreciation for like family and relationships. And it's very interesting. We do business all over the country.
Right.
We've had Dr. Uche Odiatu on the show. He's the only other Canadian Thai's dentist I believe we've had on the show, but it's always fun just hearing like about the region of dentistry that the person's practicing in. So I really appreciate you sharing that. I know our audience will as well. Did you always know that you wanted to be a dentist growing up, or is this something that kind of came onto you later? Or could you talk about maybe expanding on your dental journey a little bit, like how long you've been practicing for? I guess you said 2021, but yeah, could you tell us about like the origin of your interest?
Yeah, of course. I actually didn't know I wanted dentistry. I, as a kid, knew I wanted to be a physician. I wanted to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be specifically a pediatrician. And it was all because I had a wonderful experience growing up with my own pediatrician. And I had an idea of like what kind of office I was going to create and all of these things. So as I got older, I was investing time in the health sciences and taking science electives. And that got me all the way through undergrad. And it wasn't until I was in undergrad where my family started to, you know, kind of like talk in my ear and say like, Ellie, if you want to have a quality of life, if you want to have a family life, medicine takes a lot out of you. You have to do a lot of on-call and a lot of years of fellowship and residency. And the dentistry is a better alternative. And I had cousins going into dentistry. And so I started shadowing them. And then I went on this mission trip in Nicaragua during undergrad, and they had medicine and dentistry. And this was the first time I really got to participate and do like raw dentistry and hands-on dentistry. And I saw like these kids are coming in with so much pain, and something as small as cleaning your teeth or brushing your teeth can minimize this pain and minimize this outcome. And so why don't we spread the word? Like we need to have an intervention. And so then I was like, you know what? I want to be a pediatric dentist. So that's where I pivoted to dentistry, and I pursued, you know, the DAT, I took the exam, I did the applications. And unfortunately, I didn't get into dental school right out of undergrad. It took me, very transparently, 3 tries before I got in. So in that process, it hurt my ego. I thought that maybe this wasn't meant for me. I did a master's program just to boost my application. I was working in the corporate side of healthcare or oral care just to kind of see what else is out there. And then finally the 3rd attempt is when I got in. And so there was a big gap between my undergrad. So I graduated undergrad in 2011. And I went into dental school 2017.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I know it's so interesting hearing about the mission trip. And also you mentioned something I've definitely heard before too, is like the, you know, knew wanted to go into medicine, something, maybe didn't know exactly what, or maybe they did, and maybe like one thing or another happens, and it just kind of puts them on the dental path. And you're the first person to mention Nicaragua. I don't know if you've been able to connect with Dr. Sean Aiken out of Louisville. It would be a super small world if you would have, but he's big on like mission trips to the Caribbean. And we've heard a lot of other dentists express interest in that. So Nicaragua, that's like Central America, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I would love to connect with him. I'll go check him out on LinkedIn later and see what kind of programs he offers. But I love going on mission trips. I went on one recently to Bahamas, and everyone hears Bahamas. They think it's very lucrative and very bougie, but it's actually quite quite a poor country. And I got to do some work there, which was beautiful. And that was with the Glow Good Foundation.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, I guess, like, could you maybe expand on that, right? Because this is all, like, juicy stuff for the young dentists in school, like the maturing dentists, even maybe some dentists older in their careers that are looking for some fulfillment, right? Like, maybe they have their finances in order, but, like, hey, what can I do to really ignite my heart, you know? And could you mind telling us a little bit more about that Bahama trip?
Of course, of course. So you're absolutely right. I think going on a mission trip reignites your passion for dentistry. I recommend it to everyone, existing dentists, but also these young dentists or pre-dents who are like looking to get involved and get their hands on dentistry. And so this mission trip, like I said, it was with Glow Good, and it was actually so when I was trying to get into dental school, I interned for this company, Glow Good, this nonprofit. And now it was basically full circle. This was the first time I got to participate as a dentist. And so it was started by this dentist in New York City. He's a prosthodontist, Dr. Jonathan Levine. He and Lenny Kravitz's organization, Let Love Rule, joined forces because Lenny Kravitz is from there. So they joined forces and they started this trip about 7 years ago, and they've been going back every year, and each year gets bigger and bigger. And so you have like Henry Schein supporters, you have NYU, you have Boston University, Nova University. There were so many people from all different schools and different training programs, and there were international dentists as well, Brazilians, a lot of Brazilians there, people from Europe, England. And it was great. You got to meet so many different types of people, all with different levels of education and certifications. And we were doing digital dentistry there. They were doing scans and they were printing removable dentures. And it was really cool to see someone come in with like zero confidence, sad, depressed, and then walk out like glowing, smiling, happy, dancing. It was just a really phenomenal experience. So I absolutely recommend it to anyone. And if they want to go check it out, it's called Glow Good Foundation.
Glow Good. And you, that's G-L-O or G-L-O-W?
G-L-O.
Okay, Glow Good Foundation. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I know that I mean, that just sounds interesting, right? Like,
yeah.
I hope the listeners go check that out. I really, really appreciate you expanding on that. How about this? You kind of touched on this in the beginning, but I'd like to, you can take this any direction you'd like. What's one X factor that separates you from other dentists?
I would say empathy. I know that sounds very cheesy, but so during my time trying to get into dental school, I took some time to travel, and I traveled quite a bit. And I think that gave me the opportunity to see different types of people and different walks of life and see different socioeconomic backgrounds and understand why people are the way they are or why they make choices the way they do. And I think that gave me a little bit of understanding and perspective when it comes to meeting new people. And I take that time when I do meet patients to kind of build a relationship with them or some kind of connection based on things that I've experienced either traveling or from, you know, local experiences. And that helps me build a relationship. And so I think when it comes to what sets me apart is I really invest in my patients in terms of building a friendship as opposed to just getting in and doing the work. I want them to leave comfortable.
Building a friendship with your patients. I love that. I don't think anyone's ever described it quite like that. Like, we've always heard, you know, building the relationships, right? Like, because they're all people and everyone's unique, and be patient with them. But building a friendship, I really like how you just said that. It's so simple, but like framed that way, I think it, really just there's so much upside there for personal happiness, for them personal happiness, for like expansion on treatment, all these great things, case acceptance, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, exactly. I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to be able to understand, like, I want them to be treated as an equal, right? Not as a patient. And so when they feel like they are an equal, then it's like, oh, I trust this person. And when I discuss like what is going on and I go through their x-rays with them and I go through intraoral images with them, then they're like, oh, I see what you're talking about. Oh, now I understand better. Thank you for taking the time to explain it to me. And so it really definitely helps with treatment and acceptance.
Amazing. I mean, it makes sense like it would. And just expanding off the whole patient thing, like, what's one thing your patients have taught you over the years, maybe like in addition to that, right?
Oh, that's a great question. What have they taught me? To be patient.
Never heard that before.
I mean, there are hard days. There are definitely hard days in dentistry. And I don't think dentistry is ever easy. Every day is a surprise and people are different and people experience things differently. So there's never an easy day. And I think that it's always a test. Every day is a test. So being patient.
Hey, I think we could apply that to many things in life, but it always comes in handy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How important is it to work with a good dental lab, and why is it so important for dentists?
Oh, it's very important. I think dentists lack an understanding of the value of a lab or the importance of a lab, because dentists just, they do the work and they send it off and they expect a good result. But there's a lot of communication that needs to be done between the dentist and the lab in order to get that good result. And I think dentists don't really know how to write prescriptions. We're never really taught that in school. And there has to be more of a focus in doing that so that the dentist can improve their technique and their preps, and as well, like, the lab can return something of quality. To assume that a lab will return something of quality, just assume based on, you know, a shitty, I'm sorry, I don't know if I can swear on this, but.
Don't worry. I'll let it slide.
a bad impression, you know, that's just a really poor, how do I explain this? And I'm going on a rant now, but like
the foundation of the case.
Yeah, almost. Exactly. It'll be a poor foundation. And so it's highly, highly important that you work with a good lab and you look for a good lab and you learn how to communicate with the lab so you can create an optimal result.
You know, expanding on that, I agree with you. They say the average dentist uses like 3.5 labs. Are you over or under? How many labs are you working with? And do you see value in like working with a full service lab, provided the quality is high, right? Like, obviously, if it's a bad lab, you're not going to work with it regardless, but like, versus like a lab, like, you know, a bunch of other labs, or I guess, like, could you maybe speak on that for a bit?
Sure. I think so. Currently, I work in multiple offices in New York, and I don't really have the power in terms of selecting the lab, but mm-hmm. I would say we work with about two labs in each office and two or three labs in each office. And it's very, I would personally rather work with someone who has the full service, providing that they do deliver high quality, because I want everything to be streamlined and seamless. I don't want to forget, you know, one case here and one case there and have to run around or, you know, constantly exchange messages between different people. Because the more you also, the more labs you also use, or the more people you're in communication with, there's a chance that you are going to have some miscommunication as well, mm-hmm. or some missed conversations. So I don't want that to be happening, especially when there's a high volume of patients or a high volume of cases. So to have everything in one place is obviously ideal, because it's a load off your back. And at that point, you have such a strong connection with that lab that it'll become so much easier to communicate and to exchange messages and you start to understand each other better in terms of like thought process and how you do things. So definitely that would be great if it could be just one lab.
Amen. I mean, see, we are a full service, so I'm a little biased, right? But that's one of those things I think is just lost in translation almost, because mm-hmm. like people might look at a fee schedule, they might look at, you know, just something, but just having all your communication streamlined, like, what is that worth to separating a good dentist to a great dentist, right? Like, what is just like, it's almost like having like multiple kids, right? And they're like all three go to different schools versus like one right. school. Like, you just think that like there's the money aspect, and there's also just like the peace of mind and like personal happiness aspect. Like if you're doing okay as a dentist, I really don't understand like why you wouldn't want to streamline a bit more. And I understand specialty labs, stuff like that as well. But I think it's really just something that isn't always reflected in the bottom line. So it might be overlooked, but just like, it just makes so much sense. Like reducing a remake, right? Like maximizing your time in the chair, getting those point of contact's really honed in. And there's just so much upside to it. So I really appreciate you, you know, kind of just giving your perspective on that. Like, do you have anything to add on that, or would I like to move on to the next question?
I mean, I do think it's like having a best friend. Like, you have to invest in your friend in order for that person to become your best friend. And I think if you do that with a lab, the long-term gain is much more valuable, because then it's like I said, they know your thought process, or they know what kind of work you're looking for. Or you can talk about a case and have a conversation around a case and design a case together where you can find the optimal result. And you won't, as a dentist, be shy from, you know, talking about your mistakes or, you know, how to improve yourself. And so it's definitely worth building that relationship, I think, in the long term.
Yeah, no, it's always fun hearing these other perspectives. How about this? What do you think the future of dentistry looks like 10 years from now? Because we just had Dr. Ashley Robinson on the show. She's a house call dentist. There's the DSO movement. There's the private practice movement. There's the cosmetic movement. There's this big 3D printing movement. You know, blank slate. You have a blank canvas for your answer. What do you think the future of dentistry looks like 10 years from now?
That's a great question. I think dentistry is moving away from traditional dentistry into digital dentistry. And I think there's going to be more digital dentistry than there is now. I know, like, even though digital dentistry is new and very much present today, it wasn't something that was taught to me in school. And I think schools are now taking it on more so. So I definitely think there's going to be more emphasis on digital dentistry and digital design and production. So that'll be, I think, the next wave of dentistry.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree that that's, you know, coming, and there's not really anything stopping that. What advice would you give to dentists to maximize success in 2024 and beyond?
To maximize success in 2024 and beyond, I think you need to make time for yourself as well. I think if you don't focus on yourself, and this is basically, you know, my area was where I've learned that if I don't make time for myself and I don't value myself, then I won't be able to provide or be the best dentist that I can be, because I'm not able to maximize my potential. In order to maximize my potential, I need to be able to, you know, sleep well, eat well, recover well, you know, educate myself on leadership in order to be able to communicate with my team and have a smooth and positive office. So these are things that I've been looking into recently. And are my goals for being a successful dentist in 2024.
I was literally just having this conversation with someone else about, like, I'm not someone who's like hammering on like getting 8 hours of sleep a night,
right?
I got an awful night of sleep, you know? And, I was just telling him, I'm like, look, if I can't get good sleep, then I can't be my best self. And,
right.
That affects, you know, people around me and stuff like that. And it really is interesting. Like it kind of ties right back into what you're saying. Do you have any goals for the future?
I do. I have goals for the future. They all revolve around my career, which are building out the podcast and kind of doing dentistry a little bit differently. I don't necessarily see myself practicing dentistry full time. I want to be working part time, and I want to be able to become some kind of ambassador, let's say, in that respect, with when it comes to being your best self. And kind of building those habits. So we were talking about these habits. They're small habits, but they're what I think rich habits. Because they offer so much more, and people don't really understand the value of it until they actually, I don't know, have this mindset shift where they're like, oh, I realize now, I've burnt out now. I know now that I need this change.
Yeah, did you say, like, you reminded me of Dr. Uche, who I mentioned is the Canadian dentist, but he travels all over, does CE, you know, he goes to Italy, does, like, stuff in Milwaukee here where we're at. But he's big on, like, total health and like, also dentistry, because, like, everything relates to everything almost. And I really feel like you two would hit it off. Maybe we'll connect you after the show or something like that.
Please do.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your Tooth Doc podcast or what is it? Yeah, sure. Teeth Matter podcast.
Sure. Teeth Matter is a podcast that you can listen to on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. But I essentially started this when I was at the FQHC and I was struggling to do the day-to-day dentistry because I felt like I wasn't doing the type of dentistry I wanted to do. And then I was seeing friends on Instagram post these before and after cases and these cosmetic cases. And I thought, you know, this person and I graduated around the same time or maybe in the same year. And how are they doing it? Like, how did they learn? Because I don't remember learning how to do this from start to finish in school. Not that I don't remember. We didn't actually learn it. So we just learned how to drill and fill and do, you know, crown preps, but not necessarily do a full mouth, right? So I thought, how do you get there? And so I started the podcast in order to ask people questions of, you know, people who were more seasoned to see how did they get to where they are and how did they become successful and what courses did they take? So it went from a Q&A, mainly for my own benefit, to now a networking opportunity where people like to share their stories and their challenges, more to talk about the misconceptions of dentistry and how they deal with it.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. It actually looks intriguing. It looks like you release one episode a week.
Yes.
And yeah, no, it's awesome because not every dentist has their own pod. I think it's definitely a big part of the future, kind of tying in that credibility aspect. Because like, certainly like the cases speak for themselves, but it's also like, how do you demonstrate that? There's Instagram is one thing, but Instagram is, there's so much more to the world than just, you know what I'm saying? Instagram.
Right.
And also Instagram is very condensed, right? Like this is a 26 minute conversation at this point. And have you ever heard of Dr. Maestas by chance? Tanya Sue Maestas?
No.
She's got a pod as well. I think you're the only two that I've talked to who have their podcast. And there's also Confessions from a Dental Lab. We're a little bit more through the dental lab lens, but we don't like to box ourselves in. I really want to thank you for just coming on and sharing all this. Do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts? Well, my motto for this year is that you are enough. And so whoever is struggling with, you know, their day-to-day profession, just realize that what you've achieved so far and what you're doing today is more than just a simple contribution. And you are doing the best that you can. And no matter what, time will pass. And so whatever you're struggling with today will be gone tomorrow. So just keep doing what you're doing, just little bits at a time.
Wow. Great advice. You know, less is more oftentimes, and you are enough. Dr. Halabian, thank you so much for coming on the show. My name is KJ Eichsett. This has been another amazing episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. I encourage all the listeners out there, easiest way to help the show, just text this to a friend. We can all learn so much. You know, it's one drive. It's one subway ride. It's one Uber ride. It's a great way to just get 1% better and achieve your dreams in dentistry. The dental industry, or even life. And a great conversation. Thank you so much, Dr. Halabian.
It was a pleasure.
We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.